Good morning. Today is Gaudete Sunday. It's the middle Sunday in Advent. And as always, it's a day of joy, and the reading is always about John the Baptist, and this Sunday is no different. You'll find it in Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse 1 to 15, and that's on page 976 in the Bibles in front of you. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way for you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. Whoever has ears, let him hear." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Great to be here this morning. As you know, we are in the middle of Advent. Advent means coming, and the coming of an important person or event. So whenever you hear Advent, which is a very churchy word, we're not sure what it means. Now you know it. And basically, in Advent, we look at Jesus' first coming and Jesus' second coming. So we look at his coming to earth 2,000 years ago and his next coming. So actually, in the evenings, we are looking at the second coming, and in the mornings, the first coming. So it's not a very busy period of the year, but I actually have to preach two different sermons this Sunday, so that's not fun. But actually, if you want to hear more about heaven, it's what I'm going to talk about in the evening. You're very welcome to kind of leave and come back at 6 o'clock if you don't want to hear two sermons. But today we're looking at John the Baptist, and I find him a fascinating character in the New Testament. And sorry, when I prepared this, I didn't realize how Star Warsy it is. But actually, being Advent, I'm looking forward to two things. One is Christmas, and the second is being able to watch the last Star Wars movie after Christmas. So it does, and Follow the Star does also appeal a bit to Star Wars. John the Baptist is a very interesting person, because for the people around him, for the leaders, the society around him, he's just this really weird guy, and he's described in a weird way. But to Jesus, he's a hero. If you hear what Jesus says about him, he's saying, like, this is the greatest prophet who has ever come. He was the Elijah to come. So it's kind of two very different perceptions of who John the Baptist is. And hopefully after today, you'll think he's a hero as well. So I'm going to go through a few passages, and I hope this is not too boring at the beginning, that talk about John the Baptist, just to give us an idea of who he is. So Matthew 3, 4 to 6, and remember Matthew's writing to a Jewish audience. So he says, "John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt round his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the river Jordan. And the main thing with that is we find that he's dressed in a weird way. That's why it's described specially, because he looked different to everyone else and he was eating different food. And one little thing there is actually how he's dressed is exactly the same as how we see Elijah dressed in a passage in the Old Testament. So obviously there's this kind of already this parallel happening where Matthew wants us to remember that he was the prophet to come that was going to announce Jesus' coming. But the other thing we see is that his message was attracting quite a few people. And actually people were confessing their sins already and we're already getting baptized. And this is Hollywood portrayal of John the Baptist. I love the one with dreadlocks. Like, I'm not sure that existed at the time. But he's always this really weird guy, isn't he? He's a scruffy one. He's the one with the longer hair. He's dirty. He just seems a bit strange. And to be fair, the account in the gospel does have that kind of feel that he was a bit different to the rest of the people around him. So let's look a bit at his message. So in the next slide, we can find John's message. And this is what he was saying when he was preaching. We find in Luke 3, it says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourself, we have Abraham as your father. He's speaking directly to kind of the Jewish people at the time. Very similar to someone else we know much, much more about. And he says, what should we do then, they ask. And he says, anyone who has two shirts should share one with the one who has none. And anyone who has food should do the same. And even tax collectors came to be baptized. What does this message sound like? What is it very similar to? It's exactly the same message Jesus had. He was speaking to tax collectors. He's speaking against the political leaders. He's speaking about, actually, our faith has to kind of come down to action as well. Our faith has to do with helping those in need. It's not only following a set of rules. So he's actually talking a lot about what Jesus would then talk about later. And I think we tend to forget how significant his message was, how actually he did really start a way for what Jesus was going to do afterwards. He did kind of start spreading the news that afterwards, when Jesus came, it probably made it a bit easier for Jesus not to be kind of killed so quickly. And actually, what he did was he spoke against the religious leaders and the political leaders. He actually criticized Herod, and we know what happened after that. Because he criticized Herod, he ended up in prison, and he ended up being killed. So his story resembles a lot Jesus' story, because he is actually preparing the way. So what does Jesus think about him? This is kind of our passage today. And so Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, and this again is the image of John being kind of scruffy and kind of poor, eating insects. No, those who wear fine clothes are in kings' palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you. Who will prepare your way before you. And that's what John is doing. He's going before Jesus, he's preparing the way, he's preparing them into hearing kind of the biggest message that's ever come across the land. And he is the one who's preparing that way. And so this is John, and I'd like just to see one last thing in this passage. This doesn't mean I'm ending the sermon. I'm sorry about that. It kind of means it's the last bit on the passage. I'm halfway through. You don't get that privilege of having a 5-10 minute sermon here. So what does Jesus say about him? So what's Jesus' response? And as you remember, or some of you might remember, he's in prison. So he's sending John's in prison, and he's about to be killed. And he's suddenly having these doubts. Is what I did right? was Jesus, the one I baptized, actually the Son of God? He did hear the voice, but after a few years, he's kind of doubting. So he asks his disciples to go and ask around and say, kind of, go and ask him if he's actually the Messiah. If actually, was it worth all this effort? Was it worth kind of me getting killed or being in prison? He's not killed yet. But was it worth this big effort? Did I do the right thing? And I love it that this really important character in the Bible is doubting. Isn't it wonderful just to see that kind of this big one, he's one of the kind of top 10 guys in the Bible, and he's doubting. And I'd say 9 out of 10, because Jesus is the top one, actually are doubting throughout the Bible. And it's lovely to see that they were human and that they have doubts like you and me. And I love this response. So Jesus says to John's disciples, go back and report to John what you hear and see. I love it that he's not saying, yes, I am the Messiah. He says, go back and tell him what you hear and see. And this is what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. So what he's saying is, not, I am the Messiah, he has said it a thousand times, but he's saying, look at the fruit. This is what's happening. This is what you've started, John. This is what you've been working for. The lame are walking, the lepers are being cleansed, the deaf hear, and the good news is being proclaimed to the poor. What a wonderful message to hear, isn't it? You can imagine John working his whole life, preparing the way, kind of fighting and giving all these battles against the political leaders and the establishment, the religious leaders, and everyone against him, and put into prison, and people criticizing him, and suddenly hearing, but this is a fruit. This is what's happening. God is doing something amazing in the land. And even though you can't see it, John, this is what's happening, and this is what we hear, and this is what we see. God is moving amongst us. And basically what Jesus is saying in this kind of fascinating response is, John, you're the one who's wearing kind of the poor person's clothes and eating insects. And actually now, listen to this. The message has been taken away from the religious leaders and is now given to the poor, to those in need, to those who want and need to hear that, for those who are hungry for something more in their lives. And I just find it just a wonderful response. And we can see, obviously, throughout the gospel, this contrast between John the Baptist and Jesus and the political leaders. It's kind of these two groups of people who in a way are kind of debating and fighting quite a bit. But one group has a mass mentality. They seem scared. They're just kind of repeating what everyone else is saying. They don't want to kind of question things. And then this Jesus and John the Baptist questioning things, being bold. Even though John the Baptist is doubtful, he's brave and speaking out for those in need. And he's going against establishment to preach a different news, a better news. So we can see that John is actually doing something that's completely worthwhile. So we see these two groups and we see who's being favored by God, who is the one God saying, this is the way. And it's obviously John the Baptist and Jesus. But it wasn't easy. Like we see the story and we see kind of this weird guy with weird clothes and the big beard and the dreadlocks in the middle of a desert, and we think, oh, it must have been kind of normal. He kind of had this call from God and it's easy. But actually, it's really hard for him. You can imagine at that time, you're part of these little villages, and someone who goes against the rabbis and the religious leaders and goes out into a wilderness and starts preaching against them. The families tended to disown them. The neighbors criticize them. They lost their place in society. It wasn't kind of that simple. They had kind of a big cost to it. And I think for us, we live in a time, and I think I speak for most of us, that we like to be liked. We like to be part of our society. We like to be part of our friendship groups and to be normal and to be accepted and to be just like everyone else. That's kind of the teenager's dream, isn't it, many times? It's just to be like everyone else and not to have to be different and not to have to go against some of the things people are saying. But John had to kind of take this big risk of speaking out and living a different life and doing things differently. And actually, he was seen as an outcast, and he was seen as this weirdo in the desert. But the fruit of that was amazing. And I don't know if you know a band called DC Talk. Does anyone know a band called DC Talk? Just a few people, yes. So just like four. But growing up, that was kind of, it's a Christian band that they kind of did a bit of rap and pop and really good music, at least for me when I was a teenager. And one of the songs they wrote was, it's called Jesus Freak, which sounds a bit strange, and it is a bit strange, but it kind of, the song talks about what will people say when they realize I'm a Jesus freak, because, you know, it's an American band, but that kind of little label people put on us as Christians. And it's these teenagers singing a song saying, what will people say when they realize that I'm actually a Christian, that I have views that are different from the rest of us? What will happen? Will I stumble? Will I kind of be able to hold my fort in a way? Or will I kind of fall into just being liked by everyone? And what I learned from John's life is that actually taking a stand for what we believe and actually trying to be different and living a different life is completely worth it. And actually being part of the mass and being part of what everyone else does also has a cost, the cost of not being light and not being salt and not being able to bring something different, not being able to bring God into our society, not being able to see that fruit that Jesus was talking about. So I think actually living out our faith has a cost. People will sometimes see us as a bit strange, and will see us as, oh, he's a fanatical, or he feels like he's a saint, or he has strange views on some things. But actually, when we step out and live out that way, then the fruit is amazing. Then the fruit of what God can do is amazing. So the cost of not kind of being able to step out and live our faith is that we won't see God move as he could. And the cost of stepping out and doing what God is calling us to do and living the life he's calling us to do is that sometimes people will see us as a bit strange or different, and sometimes we won't feel part of a work group or a friendship group, or we'll feel a bit different. And that's just part of the choice of following Jesus. So there's a very well-known theologian called Tozer, and he says this: the desire to please may be commendable enough under certain circumstances, but when pleasing men means displeasing God, it is an unqualified evil and should have no place in the Christian heart. To be right with God has often meant to be in trouble with men. And actually, that's why, at the end of the day, John the Baptist was killed. Jesus was killed. A lot of the disciples were killed, just because they went against what their society was going through. And I think it's a choice we need to make, but actually, if we choose to be different, to follow Jesus' ways, as John the Baptist did, then the fruit can be amazing. Then what we can see God do can be amazing, and it is completely and utterly worthwhile. I'm reading a book that tells the story of a guy called John Wimber, and I don't know if you know him. A lot of you might know him, a few of you might not. So he was a minister, a very charismatic minister, from like 40 years ago. He was kind of one that inspired the movement that now is New Wine, which we go to as a church. An amazing person and extraordinary story. And what I find really interesting about him is that he's quite normal, and I like that. Looking at his story, he doesn't seem like very strange. He doesn't seem like having too strange views. He doesn't seem like too extreme in his view. But actually, we can see how God moved through him. And one thing that I love about him is he says this. He says, when God calls you to an extraordinary task, he provides extraordinary resources. And if you remember what Jesus was talking about, he said, let the lame walk and the deaf hear. And he's talking about kind of both physical and spiritual realities, about what the kingdom of God is producing. And actually, the task God has given us is a task which is just impossible to do without the strength. And therefore, we need him to produce a fruit. There's no way we can talk to people about Jesus all their life, but if God doesn't do something in their life, if God doesn't touch them, if God doesn't open up their eyes, it's virtually impossible for them to suddenly say, okay, I'm a Christian, I'm transformed, I've changed my life completely. We need God to do his bit. We are called to do our bit, and we need God to do his bit. And I think that's what we see in Jesus' ministry, because Jesus was working and walking in the power of the Spirit, not in his own power. And everything he did was through trust and faith in God. So he did his bit, and then the Holy Spirit did the other bit to be able to together do God's mission. So I just wanted to share very, very quickly about some things that you might not be as aware as I am of a bit of the fruit of what's happening here in church and how we're seeing God move. Because as we all put our effort in building God's kingdom, and we all do our bit, but sometimes we don't see what God is doing kind of behind the scenes and some of the stories that are happening. And I haven't kind of asked people permission, so I'm not going to give specific stories. But in this year, in 2019, we have seen a few people at least start walking with Jesus in this church. And I can think of at least four or five people who I know who at the beginning of 2019 didn't really know Jesus, and now they are faithfully walking with him, spending time with him. We've seen people develop their gifts, and we see people preaching and people doing more kind of speaking in tongues for the first time, and people developing different areas of ministry. We have seen the hungry being fed, which is amazing, the family fuel. It's amazing to see how God kind of stirs something up, and then suddenly there's lots of people wanting to help and feeding the hungry. And then we've seen something amazing, like we've been able to bring a refugee family from Syria, and they're living here in Ashdod. And if that's not the fruit of God's kingdom and God's work amongst us, then what is actually? How much more like Jesus can we get than bringing a refugee family who's been in a refugee camp for years and actually coming? So there is a fruit of God's kingdom happening where we step out together and people individually into doing God's work, and God backs that up and God does his bit as well. And that's how kind of we are called to live. And that's what I think is actually John the Baptist's story. He's preparing the way. He's doing his stuff to be able to let God do his stuff behind him. John the Baptist starts something that obviously Jesus continues. And I think our mission and our role and our kind of job as Christians is to partner with God into doing our bit and expect God to do his bit, to kind of pave the way so that the Spirit of God can do his work amongst us and amongst people around us. And I think we do have a part to play. I think it's not the same if we don't do our bit. It's not the same if we don't step out and trust God and speak out and share and love, because then we are enabling God to do his work amongst us. And God has chosen to do it this way. It's not my choice. It's not something I decided. It's a way God decided to work. He decided to partner with us for us to pave the way, and then he comes over and he does his work with us, and we just do it together. And that's what John the Baptist is doing. He's preparing the way for Jesus to do an amazing work. But there was a cost to doing that, and there was an amazing fruit through doing that. And I think for us, it's always worth doing, and it's always worth investing, because what God can do through us is amazing. And Richie, if you can put the last slide. This is what Jesus says to John, and I can't just kind of, I could read this 10 times, and I'm always just amazed by the power of these words. He says, go back and tell John what's going on. The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the wretches of the earth learn that God is on their side. Isn't that amazing? Wouldn't it be amazing to see more and more and more of that? So that's God's calling on our lives, to partner with him, to see that, to see the fruit of his kingdom amongst us, around us, in our work, in our families, in our schools, wherever we're at, just to see the fruit of his kingdom come alive. And that's God's invitation. And that's, for me, what I learned more than anything else from John the Baptist is he was able to take a risk and he was able to kind of pay the cost, but he was able to see such an amazing fruit. He was just able to listen to Jesus saying, the blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the wretched of the earth learn that God is on their side. It's completely worth all your effort. The kingdom of God is here. That's what Jesus is saying. The kingdom is here. And as we know, the kingdom is here around us. But there's so much more God can do through us. So my challenge and invitation for us this morning is just to think about this and think, well, am I giving too much weight to other people's opinions, to my appearance, to being seen as liked by others? Or is my heart desire really to serve and honor God, to see his kingdom be expanded? And the other thing is just to tell God, actually, God, I want to see more of your kingdom. I want to kind of start the way to see more and more of your kingdom. I want to be like John the Baptist, the one who walks out and sees your kingdom develop everywhere. So I'm just going to give us a minute or two in silence just for you to pray and respond in whatever way you want. But thinking about these things, there is a cost to not living out our faith, which is we won't see the kingdom expand, but there's also a cost to live it out, to kind of give ourselves and surrender ourselves completely to it. The cost is people might see us a bit like John the Baptist with the dreadlocks and the big beard and scruffy clothes. But the fruit is so worth it. Spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, the blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the wretched, I love this, the wretched of the earth learn that God is on their side. So let us just spend a minute in silence or two, and then I'll close with a prayer. Spirit, we just want to say that we are here for you, that we are willing to be seen sometimes as strange, to not be liked sometimes, to not be part of something, to be the odd one sometimes, because we want to invest in your kingdom. We want to live out your kingdom. We want to see the fruits of your kingdom around us. We want to see that peace and that love and that joy and that kindness, that faithfulness that you can bring. And we want to see others get to be part of what you're doing. We want to see others see how amazing you are. We want to see people who are spiritually blind to be able to see you. emotionally blind to you, to be able to feel your love and your peace. We just want to pave the way and prepare the way for you to work in other people's lives as well. And Lord, we recognize that the task we have ahead of us is impossible to do by ourselves. There's no way we can touch people with your peace or with your love without your power. There's no way we can actually 100% convince them that you are real and that you love them without you touching their lives. And therefore, we ask that you will fill us this morning. Fill us, Holy Spirit, to be able to take your kingdom wherever we are going tomorrow and the next day and the next day. We want to receive your kingdom. We want to receive your love. We want to receive your peace. We want to receive your presence to be able to take it away with us and touch everyone around us with your love, with your peace, with your joy, with your power. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us once again. And teach us how to play our part and what's our calling and what we can do to be able to partner with you into bringing the most amazing kingdom the world has ever known. In Jesus' name, amen.